Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, engage today's top thinkers from around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas you can put to use in your personal and professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, Close Up Radio digs deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. Close Up Radio, where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you very much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide. Award-winning Close Up Radio. It's a real pleasure to have you here. And it's also a sincere honor and a pleasure to have an opportunity to talk to one of the most renowned, one of the most world-renowned physicists on planet Earth. And I've had an opportunity to interview him on several occasions. I've also had an opportunity to travel to Maryland and the Washington, D.C. area and to the University of Maryland and have an opportunity to do a television video interview with our very special guest who is highly acclaimed, who is revered, and who is really, after the many conversations I've had with this incredible individual, he really is a genius. He's made his life's mission doing this extraordinary work and sharing it with the world. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about Dr. Yeong-Soo Kim, and he shares that the United States has been very good to him over, you know, many years ago from Korea, and he has incredible education, incredible background, and the foundation is really what brought him to America in 1954, where he attended Carnegie Institute of Technology, now Carnegie Mellon University, and that's where Dr. Kim first learned about Albert Einstein. We'll be talking about that. He actually found, through his incredible research, Dr. Kim, a hole in Einstein's theory. You'd never thought you'd hear something like that, right? Well, he actually did, and he never let up. He was tenacious. He never gave in. He never gave up. He trudged through, even with a lot of resistance, even with a lot of rejection. And yet he still, for the good of all of us, found this and discovered it and shares it with all of us. He's a professor emeritus now of the physics department at the University of Maryland. Had a wonderful opportunity to see his office, which still remains there for him, and also meet his lovely wife. And really, it's just been an incredible experience learning from him. In 1962, he even became an assistant professor of physics at the University of Maryland. And after retiring from his duties in 2007, professor of physics emeritus at UMD, this is where he's been focusing on his research. In addition, he's an extraordinary and prolific author of several books and scientific articles. He's a lifelong learner. He's incredibly curious. He's a phenomenal photographer, and he just loves sort of deducing, dissecting, and discovering things that amaze him. And he's always looking to expand Dr. Einstein's theories. And we'll be talking about that as we continue our series here on Close Up Radio Live with the renowned Dr. Yeong-Soo Kim, coming to us from Maryland on this episode of Close Up Radio Live. Dr. Kim, thank you very much once again for joining us here on the program. An honor and a pleasure as always.
Okay, thank you.
You're very, very welcome. You know, you helped Albert Einstein solve a big mystery. Maybe you can share that with our audience today.
Okay, when Einstein formulated his theory of relativity, there were no particles moving fast enough to show the relativistic effect, his effect. So he had to go to the universe, and that's called general relativity. But after 1950, Americans built particle accelerators, and then particle accelerators produced particles moving as fast as a speed of light. Okay, then that created new physics. But when Einstein formulated the theory of relativity, all the particles were point particles. Okay, proton was a point particle, and the elephant was a point particle. Okay? But on the other hand, 1960, particles were not point particles. Hydrogen was known to be non-point particle. Hydrogen atom has a very rich internal structure. But 1964, Murray Gell-Mann thought that a proton also has a very rich internal structure. It's called quark model. Proton is not a point particle. It's a bound state of three quarks, more fundamental particle called quarks. And then there are protons moving as fast as light. Particle accelerators can produce. And then when the proton moves very, very fast as light, it looks different. It looks like a collection of some free particles called partons. It was observed by R.P. Feynman, one of the respected physicists of our time. And the question is this. If the proton is at rest, it looks like a bound state of quarks, as Gell-Mann said. When proton moves very, very fast, then Feynman observed that it looks like a collection of free particles with a widespread momentum distribution. That's called parton picture, Feynman's parton picture of the quark model. The question is whether you can explain why proton appears like this. And I solved that problem. Okay?
Yeah, that is really extraordinary. It really is mind-blowing and mind-boggling. So Einstein missed something, right? Was all the information that is available to you, was that available to him at the time?
Yeah. Look, I'm much younger than Einstein. I'm still alive. Okay.
Yes, you are.
When Einstein formulated his theory of relativity, 1905, he formulated theory of relativity for point particles, with particle without any internal structure. Okay? Then 1927 or something like this, then Niels Bohr found out that hydrogen atom has a very rich internal structure. And 1964, Gell-Mann found the proton has also very internal structure, very rich internal structure. Okay. How that proton appears? Proton? Okay. If the particle is a point particle, it's nonsense to talk about the internal structure. But proton has an internal structure. Proton is a bound state of quarks. How that quark proton, the quark model, appears when it moves very, very fast, right?
Right.
It when proton is at rest, it's a bound state of three quarks. When proton moves very, very fast as light, it appears like a collection of partons, quite different. Okay?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Amazing. Why?
Really?
Why the same thing appears differently?
Yeah.
Right?
And that really boggled you, right? You really needed to know.
I saw that problem.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. I still get recognitions, but on the other hand, that I think I published that paper in 1967. But in the meantime, my colleagues at the University of Maryland did not like me. Okay?
Yeah.
Understand that one. They read a nasty report on my paper. But they did not understand. And that delayed my promotion by 20 years.
It's amazing. Mm.
Okay, look, the United States...
You were up against a lot, yeah.
Okay, let's put it this way. Let's be honest. United States is a very nice, it's a very good country, no question about it. But it's not a perfect country.
Right.
My department consists of two groups. University of Maryland, you heard about the University of Maryland before, no? You heard about Harvard and Princeton, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And the University of Maryland consists of new people. And the chairman of the department was a Princeton man. He hired many Princeton people, right? Like me.
That's right.
And also they also hired many people from Harvard, Columbia, and Berkeley, right?
That's right.
And those people, Harvard, Columbia, and Berkeley were all turned down from Princeton, right?
Exactly.
Because Einstein was so strong at that time, everybody wanted to go to Einstein, Princeton, right?
Yes.
So if you went to other school, other good school, Columbia, Harvard, and the University of California, Berkeley, they are good, University of Chicago, they're all good schools, okay? No question about it, right?
That's right.
Exactly. But they were all turned down from Princeton, okay? Understand that one?
Yes. Yes, they were. Yeah.
So they did not like me. Also, United States is not a perfect country. I came from Korea, a very poor country, right?
Mm-hmm.
Receiving foreign aid, financial aid from the United States. You have to accept, reality. Okay. The discrimination against nationality does not exist in this country, but it existed at that time, right?
That's right.
Understand that, okay? How can Korean be right? But, okay, I came from Princeton to University of Maryland in 1962. At that time, University of Maryland was going to offer me a permanent residency in the United States. Okay? And also,
yeah.
I like the University of Maryland because the University of Maryland is very close to Washington, D.C. And Washington, D.C. is the capital city of United States, of course, right?
That's right.
And did you know that Washington is still the capital city of South Korea?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So my condition was very, very good, and I came to University of Maryland. Then 1965, that means while I was struggling as an assistant professor, Princeton found a genius named Roger Dashen. You didn't hear about him, did you?
Tell our audience about him.
Okay. Roger Dashen was a good student, and he was appointed at the full professor at the Institute for Advanced Study, Princeton's Institute for Advanced Study. That's Einstein's Institute, right?
That's right.
And he was appointed as a full professor. He's a fresh PhD from Caltech, and he got appointed as a full professor for his calculation of neutron-proton mass difference. Neutron and the proton are very similar particles, but proton is slightly heavier than proton. He calculated that mass difference, okay?
That's right.
And mm-hmm. He became genius of the century. So he was a genius. So I was struggling as an assistant professor at the University of Maryland. I looked at, I became very, very jealous. I have a Herod complex. Herod complex means I'm the genius. Who else can be, right? You know King Herod, right?
Sure, absolutely.
I looked at his paper and I proved that he's wrong. He published it. Okay? And the University of Maryland
reviewed
my promotion. He said, hey, look, physicist said, Dashen is a genius. You're only a Korean. Okay, how can you be right? Okay? Go back to Korea.
And you know what's amazing about that? They could never say that kind of thing today. It would be discrimination. They would be in a lot of trouble.
They can't even say it today.
America, USA
is a good country, but United States is a good country, no question about it. The best country in the world, okay? But only 99% perfect country, right?
Yes, right, exactly.
Okay, no question about it. And at that time, I proved that Daeshan was wrong. That was 1966, my paper. And then University of Maryland reviewed my promotion. Then the word is this. Look, Daeshan is genius. He's a Korean. How can Korean be right? Send him back to Korea, okay? Okay. Yeah. I was in trouble. Understand that word?
Yes. Yeah.
So I went back to Princeton, met my former advisor, thesis advisor. He was personally very nice, but he did not have enough brain. He said that, look, never come back to Princeton, you dirty Korean, okay?
Mm. Yeah.
Understand that word?
Yes, I do. Yeah, it's awful to hear that they said that to you.
Mm. Oh, yeah, he said often it. You orient all the time. His word was Sam Treman. He was very nice to me personally. But on the other hand, he was always oriental. And then I went there, I guess February 1966. He did not have enough brain to understand what I was saying. And never come back to Princeton. Okay?
Yeah.
Nevertheless.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's amazing. It really is. How did Dr. Eugene Rigner's paper play into all of this?
Let me explain this.
In the meantime,
University of Maryland realized the seriousness of the problem and looked at the problem very, very carefully, and then they decided that I was right, so I was given a permanent tenure. Okay?
Exactly, yes.
So United States has been very nice to me, don't you think?
I think so, but it took a long time.
It's all right, it's okay. It's a long time, but I can brag about it, right?
Yes, you can.
All right.
You sure can. So let's go back to
Eugene Wigner.
Yes.
Princeton people cannot resolve the problem of this Daeshan's problem, okay?
That's right.
I decided that he did not have enough brain to understand Eugene Wigner's paper. Eugene Wigner was a Nobel Prize winner, and he wrote a very important paper in 1939, okay?
That's right.
So I studied his paper. I said, Princeton people do not have enough brain to resolve the dissertation fraud case. So therefore, they cannot understand that paper. So I studied that paper for 20 years using Wigner's paper, okay? Eugene Wigner wrote 1939 mathematical paper. When Eugene Wigner wrote the 1939 paper, all the point particles. He was talking about what was happening inside the particle. Okay.
Yes.
At that time, particle accelerator did not exist. So he was only a mathematical paper. Okay? But I studied that paper, and I was really able to relate his paper with what was happening in the world of accelerators. That was after 1980. Okay? And I approached Eugene Wigner. And he was very, very happy. So I wrote, seven papers with him. Okay?
That's incredible. That's so incredible. It really is.
All right, all right. So I became known as a Wigner student, okay? Wherever I go, they introduce me as a Wigner student. Wigner is a world-class people, man, historical figure. My advisor was Sam Treman. His name is not known. He was a very good advisor. He wrote me how to write articles in a coherent manner. But on the other hand, he did not have a brain to understand Wigner. So when I went to Princeton to work with Wigner, my advisor was looking at me. I ignored him. Okay?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, I'm known as a Wigner student at Princeton. Wherever I go. Because I wrote several papers with him.
Which really is amazing. Did you meet Dr. Wigner, or what was your relationship or genealogy with him?
Okay, now, when I was a student, and Wigner was so famous, I started reading his paper. And when I was a student, I used to go and ask questions. Okay, I knew him before. That's the reason I was able to approach him. Okay?
Exactly, yes.
So yeah. I was interested in his paper in 1939, all the particles were point particles. It was a totally meaningless talk about what was happening inside the particle. But using Wigner wrote mathematics for what is happening inside the particle, okay?
So when you discovered this, what happened with the information? Because it's extraordinary that you found this.
Okay, yeah, the most important thing is this. Okay.
Did anything happen with it beyond just the discovery?
Okay, hydrogen atom is a bound state of electron and proton, right?
Exactly, yes.
But you cannot find any hydrogen atom moving with relativistic speed, except with the cosmic rays, perhaps. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But proton is a charged particle. Proton can move very, very fast, can accelerate. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the proton is also bound state, like a hydrogen atom. Okay?
Right. Right.
So instead of studying fast-moving hydrogen atom, you can study fast-moving protons, right?
Exactly, yes.
Hydrogen atom, okay. It's called a Bohr-Einstein problem. It's a bound state of bound state, and Einstein is a fast-moving, okay?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, here it is. So Gell-Mann said, proton is a bound state of three quarks. You heard about quark model, right, Gell-Mann?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He got Nobel Prize. Then Feynman, later, 5 years later, said, proton appears like a collection of patterns. Quite different. Patterns appear quite different from quarks. Gell-Mann said proton is a bound state of three quarks. Now Feynman said when proton moves very, very fast, it consists of infinite number of, how can three become infinite number, infinite number of particles.
Yeah.
Okay? They are talking about the same thing. One is at the stationary, and the other one is fast moving, okay?
Right.
Can you solve the problem?
You can.
I solve the problem, okay?
That's right.
And I published that paper, I guess, in 1969. And the University of Maryland looked at paper, and the University of Maryland, there was an SOP and wrote a paper saying that I'm crazy, okay? So that delayed my promotion for 20 years. Okay?
Mm.
Understand
yeah.
that one?
Yes, absolutely.
University of Maryland was a new department, and the chairman of the department of Princeton men, he had many Princeton men. There are many people who did not go to Princeton, like Berkeley and Harvard and Columbia, right? Those Berkeley, Harvard, and Columbia people got turned down from Princeton, right? 1955,
right.
Einstein died, okay? Everybody wanted to go to Einstein. Understand that one?
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was particularly bad. And he also applied to Princeton. He said that he got turned down. I got it. And he wrote a very nasty report on me. And that delayed my promotion for 20 years. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless,
yeah.
He became quite upset because my son went to Princeton. Okay? Don't you see what
Yes.
Oh. Okay. All right, fine. Very good.
Yeah.
Okay, United States.
Extraordinary.
United States has been very nice to me. You understand, right?
Yes, I do. And it's amazing. You're so gracious, you know, to say that considering all you've gone through, but it's beautiful.
Yeah, United States has been very nice to me. Okay, let's put it that way. Okay.
Yes.
And I was able to
yes.
survive because I am on. Okay. All right. Very good. Okay. What else?
So
where are we in the conversation?
So we've come to the end, the half hour. Believe it or not, these conversations go by so fast, Dr. Kim. The 30 minutes has wrapped, but I want to let the audience know. We will be joining together again next Friday, April 5th at 2 p.m. Eastern to continue our extraordinary conversation.
April 15th?
5th. 1 week
April
from today.
5th. Okay.
Yeah, 1 week from today. Friday,
oh,
April 5th.
Oh, yeah, that's
5th,
at 2 p.m., right?
2 p.m. Eastern. You got it.
Yeah,
Dr.
all right.
Kim,
thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. I want to let folks know they can also go to the website, www.ysfine, that's FINE.com, to learn more. You're always a pleasure to chat with Dr. Kim, and I look forward to speaking again with you next week. You have a wonderful weekend.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay. Thank you.
You are very welcome. Extraordinary conversation with extraordinary person, renowned physicist Dr. Yong-Soo Kim. Extraordinary, the discoveries he's made and continues to make and shares with the world. This is your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time on Close Up Radio Live, thanks for being with us. Stay tuned. More great shows coming up. For all of us, have a terrific day. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.